Good morning.
Good morning.
The people of Israel wanted a king. According to 1 Samuel chapter 8, they wanted a king because all the other nations around them had one. The prophet Samuel warned them that they would regret it, but they insisted. The first king of Israel was Saul. He was straight out of central casting, tall and good looking. Now, he didn't go to the prophet Samuel because he was called to be king. He went to him because he wanted help finding some missing donkeys. As we know, Saul ended up being a disappointment as a king. So Samuel went shopping for a better choice. By divine direction, he went to the household of Jesse of Bethlehem. He met all of Jesse's sons, and one by one he asked God if this was the one to lead Israel. As each one went by, God said, no. Eventually, Jesse was all out of sons, and Samuel was baffled. What had gone wrong? Well, said Jesse, I have one more son, my youngest. And when Samuel finally met David, he was not impressed. David was a child, pretty rather than handsome, short, and sunburned. He looked like a peasant. But God explained to Samuel, the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Samuel knew what a king looked like, and this wasn't it. But still, Samuel anointed David as king. Given that it's the season of Lent, it seems appropriate that I confess a spiritual defect that I have. It goes like this. I live way too much inside my head. I like to think of myself as rational, intellectually vigorous. And the downside of this is that most days it doesn't feel like I have a spiritual bone in my body. Generally, I experience Christianity as a problem to be analyzed and solved, not as a song to be sung. The phrase I don't know really galls me. I want to have answers. Some of this may come from a very human desire that I have, that everyone has. I think they want to control the world that they live in. If I can understand something, I can feel like I can manage it. That's good as far as it goes, but we're all living in a time when uncertainty is the rule. We're full of questions that we just don't know the answers to. And it shatters the illusion that we're in charge of the world that we live in. It is really disconcerting. If we look at the gospel reading today, we find a story about Jesus healing a man born blind. And the reaction of the people in the story is really quite revealing. The people who learn about the miracle don't celebrate it. They rush to understand what had happened. They had a lot of questions. There are a total of 16 questions in the gospel passage today. And it's not just the usual culprits, the Pharisees, asking questions. It's also the disciples and some people identified as the neighbors and the man born blind and Jesus himself. The questions they ask are mostly perfectly reasonable. Why was this man born blind? How did Jesus restore his sight? And who is this Jesus person anyway, and what gave him the ability to do this? The Pharisees went into full CSI Jerusalem mode. They tried grilling the poor man. They wanted answers. But the man didn't know. The best he could offer was, I don't know, I was blind, but now I see. He knew that Jesus had healed him, but that was all. I find this all rather disappointing, really. Doesn't it seem odd that Jesus never took advantage of his time on earth to spell out the mechanics of the universe? I don't doubt that he knew about atoms and galaxies, about the soul and the afterlife and the final judgment. He could have left us a complete textbook about such things. And there's no hint that he ever wanted to. What a wasted opportunity. Maybe if he'd explicitly spelled out the doctrine of the Trinity, we could have avoided centuries of heresies and purges and church councils. But that's just not how Jesus operated. Jesus' behavior in the story reminds me of a story that's told concerning the Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama. Buddha lived about 500 years before Jesus. And if you're taking notes, I'm sure you are, the story comes from the Tripitaka, a collection of writings sacred in Theravada Buddhism, not Mahayana Buddhism, so just want to keep that straight. The story goes like this. There was a young monk named Malunkyaputta, and he became frustrated with Siddhartha because he never explained the most important things about the nature of the cosmos. And finally he said to the Buddha, "Unless you tell me the secrets of the universe, I will stop following you." And the Buddha replied with a parable. He said, "This is like a soldier on a battlefield who is shot by a poisoned arrow. He was taken away from the fighting, and a surgeon was called to extract the arrow and bind the wound. But the wounded soldier stopped him. He said, 'Tell me, what was the caste of the man who shot me? Is he tall or short? What is his name? What is the color of his skin? What village does he come from? Did he shoot me on purpose, or did he hit me by accident? What kind of bow did he shoot me with? What type of arrowhead is on the arrow? What bird's feathers were used for the fletching on the arrow?' On and on the questions came until the soldier died from the poisoned arrow." The point of that story is that none of that really matters, and that's a point I can easily see Jesus making. Let's go back to the reading from John's Gospel. He was walking along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. There was a blind man in front of him, a man cursed to beg day after day for something to eat, and Jesus was moved to help him. He didn't check to make sure that this was a good person or an observant Jew. He certainly didn't quiz him on his knowledge of the age of the universe or the nature of God. Jesus gave him his sight, and that's what mattered. In the gospel reading, there are 16 questions, and most of them are never answered. The most important one, the one that really matters, was answered. "One thing I know is that though I was blind, now I see." As we go through our lives, we see all sorts of needs. And some problems will really be beyond us. I don't suspect that my spit would ever heal anyone of anything. Probably the opposite. But there are many opportunities in all our lives to respond to the needs around us in ways that manifest the goodness of Jesus Christ. Even confined to our houses, we can still be a blessing to the world. I don't need to know the secrets of the universe to offer a word of kindness or to provide a meal for somebody who needs it. But I do need to be sensitive to the whispers of God when he calls me to do my part in bringing wholeness to the world. I'll close with a few words from the letter to the Christians at Ephesus. "Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord." Amen.